I haven't seen a script, but I've no doubt if it isn't up to par, they'll chuck it out. Ooh la 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 la. All my actor friends are cracking wise, but I can see the envy in their eyes.
Reading this fan fiction on Archive of Our Own called Cold Hands, Warm Heart.
Oh my god.
Which was, it's very short. It's like a 4-minute read. Venom has learned a little bit about human anatomy, and he's like, so he's kind of like reminding, like, oh, make sure to like drink water. And he's like,
that sounds so cute, because these are all new things.
Yeah,
to Venom.
Exactly. And he's like, Eddie, why are you rubbing your hands together? And Eddie's like, oh, my hands are cold. And Venom's like, well, reach into your pockets. And so he reaches into his pockets and he pulls out 2 leather gloves. And Venom's made him some leather gloves. And
wait, how?
Because he can do that. He can make clothes. Why not? Why wouldn't he be able to do that?
Like from his, like, he didn't like sit down and knit them or something while he was sleeping. He like...
No. It's like,
them whole
I mean, remember Venom from like Spider-Man 3,
I guess
he was
make
able
a
to
suit,
do. Yeah.
Wasn't he
made the Spider-Man suit that looked exactly like Spider-Man suit.
He could probably manipulate his molecules.
Exactly.
Some bullshit pseudoscience.
Exactly.
And he made him some gloves.
He made him some gloves, and then Eddie's like, could you make me a scarf? And so Venom makes him a little scarf, and it was very sweet and good. So I would highly recommend the name is Cold Hearts, Warm Hands by...
No, Cold Hands, Warm Heart.
Cold Hands, Warm Heart by... I believe it's by Dira Sudis. Yeah, it's very cute and good. So we could write just like a cute little story where Tonks and Lupin are just like taking care of each other. Just like, you know, it's hard being a like... super wizard that's fighting evil fascists.
That's right.
Some days you just need to take a break and, like, make sure you're both good.
Well, now I have Venom on the brain.
Okay, do you want to write a Venom story?
Yeah.
Okay.
Venom and Eddie.
Venom and Eddie.
They're out in the park.
Okay.
In the dog park.
There's
well,
a
Venom
dog park.
Wants to eat dogs so bad.
Okay, so yeah. Venom. So write the establish where they are.
Okay. Eddie? Oh my god. Spencer, I forget how to write.
I love that you suggested doing a writing segment, and it's like...
And then it's so hard.
It's, yeah.
I always assume I'm just going to be good at things, and everything's going to be easy forever. The cold wind whipped at Eddie's ears. Oh, boy. He thought... That wind sure is cold. Sure is cold on my ears.
And Venom says, Eddie.
Okay, I'll give it italics. Eddie started. Should I put quotations? Wait, how does he think?
Yeah, he...
This again. He thought... Hate this guy.
What? No, he doesn't. He loves his boyfriend.
No, he's not. They're not boyfriends yet.
Oh. But they're friends, aren't they? No?
Well, I don't
In
know.
Our story, they're not friends.
I was thinking there would be more conflict if he's getting used to it.
Okay, he's still getting used to it.
So he's startled by Venom.
He's startled, not started.
Well, starting means you go,
whoa. Oh, okay. Eddie started.
He thought he would... used to this by now, but he wasn't.
That's some good writing. Venom wants to say, that puppy looks yummy.
That puppy looks yummy.
Eddie noticed the puppy.
Eddie noticed that puppy looks yummy. Eddie glanced across the park.
Wow.
At the aforementioned dog. That puppy looks yummy. Glanced across the park.
I would give the puppy some description. Like, glanced across the park, and it's like,
a
dachshund, like, because Eddie knows more about dogs than Venom would.
Right.
So, he's able to describe what kind of puppy it is. And
what kind of puppy is it? It is a wiener dog, perhaps.
Okay, it's a wiener dog.
A knee-high... No, they're not knee-high. A...
Shin?
Shin height. Eddie glanced across the park. Mm-hmm. A tiny little... Tiny...
That's the same adjective. You just wrote the same adjective twice.
Okay, glanced across the park. Tiny brown...
Eddie glanced across the park. There was a wiener dog chasing a stick with his master.
A small little brown thing.
Fox jumped over the lazy dog.
Small brown dog was excitedly barking around its owner's feet. All right.
We can't eat everything that looks yummy, Venom. V. In the fan fiction that I read, Eddie called Venom V.
Calls him V?
It was very cute.
Okay. He huddled his face into his jacket's collar. We can't eat every animal that we... come across the he'd recently been wait okay can't eat every animal that we come across the one of the compromises he and Venom had made was human bad animal okay it was proving more difficult than expected to get the concept of pets across.
That?
This is an animal that belongs to a human. Remember? That's someone's pet. That's one of the off-limits animals. Remember?
Venom was curious. Why do humans keep these animals?
Isn't he had never particularly been an animal person, nor had a pet himself. He tried to answer as best he could. Companionship, I guess.
Humans get lonely.
Eddie.
Am I your pet?
Am I your pet?
Eddie laughed aloud. Despite himself, a woman next to him gave him
a look?
A look. And he hurried his step a little. No, I suppose not. Or what does he say, yeah? No, I don't suppose so. Pets are more like a little dumb thing that you don't talk to. But you do talk to... But they don't talk back to
so you. No, you don't talk to. Keep that. You don't talk to. And then Eddie says... Or Venom says, but Eddie, look! And then the woman is talking to her wiener dog.
Oh, right. Sure enough, the woman was talking to her wiener...
Wiener!
Talking to her dashing. Of course it was a wiener dog. Eddie mused ruefully. Because it's named like a food.
Mm-hmm.
You could hear the happy babbling of such a good boy. Who's a Good boy.
Eddie.
Oh, wait. Eddie's gonna talk first.
Oh, okay.
Oh, all right. I guess people talk to their pets. But the pets don't talk back. So the last part, slightly louder than intended.
Hey, Eddie.
This is Ben.
Yeah, this is Ben. Hey, Eddie.
Hey.
Am I a good boy? There was hesitation.
That was Eddie's mind immediately went to the... He lets Venom eat bad guys, right?
He eats the guy at the end.
He's going to immediately think of, like, when Venom was happily chomping on a burglar's brain.
Yes.
Or something. It was an improvement of sorts from where they had started. At least the guy deserved it. ... Sure.
A feeling of contentment spread through his body. Venom liked being a good boy.
Eddie.
All of this surreptitious whispering had drawn a bit more attention than Eddie preferred. So he continued walking down the street. The dog park now in his back view. A line of oak trees aligned the sidewalk. This is really good writing. He suddenly felt himself drawn to one of those trees. What? What is it?
Eddie.
Black tendril
worked
its way from his neck into the leaves and came back down tightly, gripping a terrified squirrel.
Eddie, this is my bag.
It took a bit of convincing to talk Venom out of his idea. But once he explained that you had to feed it continuously instead of just eating it eventually, Venom thought better of his pet idea. The squirrel scampered away up the tree. A second, much faster, tendril darted after it and came back down empty, but making a loud crunching sound. He ate the squirrel. Venom, you're all right. Okay, so he eats the squirrel.
Yes.
Eddie continued home.
I feel like
trying not to.
I keep thinking like, surely Liz is gonna finish it here, and then you just keep going.
Sorry,
and,
I have.
You're
I
fine.
Have, okay.
You're fine. I
got
just think
into
it's
the
funny.
Zone.
Yeah,
I forgot that we were recording a podcast.
Yeah.
I didn't write.
Clearly,
I
should
write
yeah.
stories for fun. It's pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
This was also a thing Eddie thought he would be used to by now, but clearly wasn't.
Eddie.
What now? Eddie didn't answer, just kept walking.
Eddie.
He was nothing if not persistent. What is it?
You are also a good boy.
That's pretty good.
That's the ending.
I like it, yeah.
Yeah. Eddie sighed. Thanks, buddy. The end.
The end.
Phew, that was tough.
Yeah.
It's tough typing, also.
Welcome to Fan Fiction Writer's Room. I'm your editing manager, Spencer Suarez.
And I'm your managing editor, Liz Cernick.
Here on Fan Fiction Writer's Room, we take characters submitted by you, the listener, and weave it into a masterpiece in the way all great stories were meant to be told.
By amateurs on the internet. If you'd like to suggest characters for us, submit them to ffwrshow@gmail.com.
What did you learn from writing your fanfiction?
I learned that typing as fast as you are talking is difficult.
Yes.
And hurts your wrists.
Yes.
And I'm not very good at it, but I will be getting better as I write more stories.
Yes. Yeah, fanfiction seems like a really good playground to...
Yeah.
A lot of the hard work has already been done for you.
Uh-huh.
You just, 'cause everyone knows who Captain America and Bucky Barnes are, so you just gotta...
You can get to the fun stuff.
You can get to the fun stuff. Yeah.
Boy, it's very, soul-bearing.
Yeah.
Writing? And trying to, like, write good? I don't know.
Like, how do you feel?
I feel more vulnerable than I ever did drawing in front of a person.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Even though you were writing this goofy story about, like, what do you feel like you accidentally led away about yourself?
Just, like, what I like, what I think is funny, what I think makes for good writing, I guess. I guess the fact that I'm not confident in being able to do it well also makes me feel more vulnerable.
Right.
Trying to do a thing without knowing how to be good at it.
Yeah, whenever, like, you see people do something and it feels really easy, and then you try it, and it's not so easy.
A lot harder than it seemed.
Yeah, that's a...
Mm-hmm. Really? Plus, there's a lot of emotion in writing.
Yeah.
You gotta feel the emotions of the characters.
You're sort of acting... In a way, like you're like all of the characters are you, and are extensions of your body.
That's right, and that's what I learned about writing.
So how do you feel like? Do you feel like you really?
Well, I feel like I really know the writer's psyche, and
you understand what Shakespeare was saying about like the soul of wit.
Yes, absolutely. And I think I have a lot of really great insights for other writers out there, and I should share it with the world.
Yeah, tell us how to be better writers.
Yeah, so I'm going to start carrying a laptop with me everywhere, so
great.
That if the moment strikes, I can just whip it out,
get
something quick down on the page, hang out at my local Starbucks.
Yes.
Just getting those ideas down, you know, as they come. You don't want to let inspiration... leave without capturing it.
And as we all know, the best way to write is on a MacBook Pro.
Yes.
The most expensive model. Get as much RAM and hard drive space as possible.
Yes, and only ever use Microsoft Word on it,
though. Yes.
That works a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the second most important thing to being a writer, first of all, being your expensive laptop.
Yes.
Second,
you need to spend at least $2,000 just to become
minimum.
Even an amateur writer.
Yes. And of course, the second most important, your wardrobe.
Yes.
The right tweed jackets, berets, fancy scarves.
Yes.
So clothes that are very expensive but look very cheap.
You want to put
the hobo chic look.
You want to put as many cool stickers onto your laptop as possible.
Oh, yes, yeah. And pins onto my bag.
Mm-hmm.
And multiple scarves, if I could. Like three around my neck, but also just one, a jaunty scarf around my waist as well.
You want to be boiling hot.
Oh yeah. Oh, at all times.
In scarves.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So like
it's
sweating.
To warm your brain.
You sweat out the inspiration out of your pores.
Yeah.
And it really like warms up the creative juices.
Much like how your sweat will pour from your under armpit.
Yes.
Your ideas will flow onto the keyboard.
From my under armpits.
From your under armpits.
And that's the writer's technique for
that's,
you.
When J.K. Rowling was struggling to feed her kids and writing in Starbucks.
It was because she had such a high scarf budget.
Huge scarf budget. And that's why she forgot to write all of the details about how, like, Hagrid is trans and how
Snape was
actually a struggling mother.
And that Dumbledore was roller skating it. Whether it was mentioned or not, he's
constantly
on
roller
skates. Yeah.
Yeah, when he falls from the balcony into off. That's how he dies, right? He falls from
a
tower.
Because he trips.
He trips on his
roller
skates, It's not. Snape actually doesn't kill Dumbledore. No, it's an accident. Snape tried to save him. He tried to do a levitation spell, but he missed and Dumbledore fell.
But all of J.K. Rowling's writer juices leaked from her armpits, got on the keyboard.
Yeah.
Shorted out parts of the paragraph. And now we'll never know.
Well, now we will, because
we'll never know how Dumbledore died. To this day, nobody knows. It's a mystery.
Because she'll tweet all of the things she missed.
Oh, right. Yeah, all the things that were deleted because of all the sweat on her keyboard.
Yeah. She found a much better scarf that now. For Twitter.
It wicks away sweat.
Yes.
So she can...
For her Twitter and her detective novels that no one reads.
Yeah, and all of the... really good screenplays for all of the Harry Potter sequels / prequels?
Yeah, for Newt Gingrich?
Newt Gingrich. the conservative politician.
What is his name? Newt
Scamander. Newt Scamander. And I'm so glad to learn that side character from Harry Potter, author of one of his textbooks, was actually having grand adventures with Dumbledore back in the day, helping defeat Grindelwald. That was what I was hoping was the case.
Yes.
In those days.
I always hope that one detail, every little detail that comes up in any fantasy novel I'm reading, has a whole solo A Star Wars Story attached to it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And that it's as dumb as possible.
Yes.
And just, like, not interesting at all. That's what I really...
I...
So J.K. Rowling's really delivering for me.
Some news organization I follow on Twitter tweeted,
Fox
like...
News.
Yes.
Then Spencer, just so everyone knows, no, we should amend that / S sarcastic.
Tweeted, like, this Marvel fan theory is blowing minds. And I was like, all right. So I clicked it and I was reading it.
All right, clickbait, you got me.
You got me. And I was reading it. I don't even remember the fan theory on it. Oh, the fan theory was that Samuel Jackson has known what was happening all along. And
is Thanos?
Yeah. And, like, he's been making decisions since the 90s, since Captain Marvel.
It's all part of his plan. And that's what Doctor Strange saw when he was
checking it out.
He was like, oh, he's got it under control.
Doctor Strange traveled backwards in time to tell Samuel Jackson. And
that's pretty good.
It's pretty good fan theory, but also most fan theories forget how simple most of the stories that people are into are.
Yep.
Star Wars and Marvel are very simple movies. They're not Star Trek. They don't have, like, weird conflating, like, it was all... He was pulling the strings the whole time. That's not a thing that ever is going to come up in a Marvel movie. So that's what I was thinking. Well, good fan theory, though. Fan theory, as we've established previously, the brother of fan fiction. It's just a bunch of people having a good time.
Just making their headcanons.
Thinking
about things too much and making notes on all the Pixar movies.
Yeah. How they all take place in one.
Continuous universe. You know, just making your fun maps on your walls. Looping red string to other pictures with thumbtacks. Normal, fun, fan things that we all do.
Mr. Potato Head was pulling the strings the whole time. He's the one that caused the humans to die out and for
and create
Wally,
the Cars universe.
And then the Cars universe. That's it was right. All Ham's fault. Nor did I say Mr. Potato Head. I said
yeah.
Mr. Potato Head.
Because if you watch Wally, Mr. Potato Head is in the garbage the whole time, watching from the shadows.
Exactly.
And if you watch Cars closely, he's actually behind the wheel of one of the
of
cars.
Every car.
I'm not going to tell you which car.
Yeah.
Oh, every car?
A piece of him is.
Oh, right. The nose and the hands because they've been separated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's much like...
It's like a blink and you'll miss it thing, but it really ties it all together.
When I saw Toy Story 3...
Yes.
There's the bit...
That's the one where they all die in the trash compactor?
Yes. Yeah. It ends with
spoiler alert. They all die in a trash compactor.
Yeah. There's the bit where Mr. Potato Head... unattaches himself and throws himself out the window, and he like throws a flapjack out there or something to
a pancake,
something like that, so he can move around because he can't.
Oh yeah,
his
body
out.
so he can stick all his pieces back together on a.
But then, like,
piece of potato, I guess.
A raccoon or something takes the potato.
I gotta rewatch that.
And he like. Sticks himself into a gherkin or something. Like, there's a
apparently, it has to be a vegetable to work. But he's not an actual vegetable. He's a piece of plastic.
But, like, my ex-girlfriend at the time thought it was a turd. And she laughed so hard.
What was it, actually? It was just a vegetable?
I think it was just a turnip or a pickle. I don't know where he found it. Like, why is there this pickle outside? But she was, like, howling with laughter in the movie theater. And everyone was like, it's just... Funny. It's like, yeah, he's in a pickle.
Oh, my God. But what if he was in a turd?
Yeah, that would be a much funnier...
Oh, my God.
A much funnier twist.
So good.
Would you like to write some fan fiction? Again?
Yeah. Double fan fiction.
All right, roll the dice.
Oh, my God. I don't know how this is. Here it is.
4. So we are going to write a Garfield fanfiction.
Oh,
your
Garfield,
favorite.
My favorite.
Talk about your relationship with Garfield.
I love Garfield. I used to just read Garfield all the time and buy the, like, novels. Not novels. The collections.
The collections,
you know.
Yeah.
The omnibus collections.
Garfield
and I sort of,
takes the cake.
Oh, that's
Garfield.
One of them. Garfield gains weight.
Garfield breaks the scale.
Garfield gets real fat. They were really good weighty titles.
Yeah.
And I sort of, I don't want to say I learned to draw because of Garfield, but it was certainly an aspirational thing that, like, because it was just a bunch of simple shapes, but I couldn't make it look like Garfield.
Mm-hmm.
I drew the correct lines, and it was sort of my first taste of what on model meant.
Right.
And proportions and how important that was. So, yeah, I've been drawing Garfield all my life. I love him.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize that everyone didn't just grow up reading Garfield comics, like, collection-wise. Not in the newspaper. Just, like, Garfield.
There is something about Garfield that appeals... Like, specifically, Garfield seems to be very popular with a certain age of children. Like, 5 to 9. It was, like, because of Riverdale, I've been watching Sabrina.
Oh, yeah?
It's actually very good. I quite like Sabrina.
Yeah, I think I will watch that one.
But
does,
like,
the cat talk?
No.
Oh, damn it! I guess I won't watch it.
She can understand the cat.
Oh, that's good.
But so far, he hasn't talked. But like, he'll go like meow, and she'll be like, "No, Salem," like,
oh,
blah blah blah.
Him.
Yeah.
That's
so yeah, because he's her familiar, she can understand him. But he doesn't go turn to the audience and go, "Uh oh, this isn't gonna work out so well."
Give me some more fish!
But, I was just thinking, like, what is it about Archie that's appealing?
Right? It's just the fact that it's so long-lasting and there's so little investment to get caught up to speed.
Yeah.
Because there's basically no continuity as such. Mm-hmm. There's just very broad strokes. And you can get that in, like, a second. You read a Garfield comic and, like, you really just have to read one collection, and you're like, yeah, well, I understand Garfield.
Mm-hmm.
I know it. I can, at a glance, you can
the
just
relationships
jump
have been the same since the 80s.
Yeah, so I had this one collection that was the literal first Garfields, 1, 2, and 3. And that was fascinating, because they're so old and so different the way he was drawn. Like, he was drawn as an actual big fat cat.
Mm-hmm.
I just found it in, like, a thrift store somewhere, and it was beat up, and it was, like, this treasure. Oh my god, the first Garfield? And so I had this collection that I just reread constantly. And then I had another collection that was, like, from maybe 5 years, 8 years later. And so I never had any that were, like, one after the other.
Mm-hmm.
But I always had a bunch through the ages. And
right,
like, from a decade later, and from a decade later.
But that was okay for Garfield, because
exactly.
There's not continuity.
Yeah.
There's nothing you need to catch up on.
Uh-huh. And so it was fascinating to see, like, the characters that Jim Davis would try. He would just try out. Maybe John goes to a cafe every now and then and talks with this crazy old coffee-pouring waitress named Irma. Oh, that didn't really work out. We never see Irma again.
Yep.
It's never mentioned. Mm-hmm. Who cares? Later, maybe we see John's family on his family farm. That doesn't really work out. Let's never see them again, except, like, during the Christmas specials.
Yeah.
And then, like, he had a roommate for a while. Let's just not mention him again. Never bring up what happened.
Yeah.
Doesn't have a roommate anymore. Dog always belonged to John. Who cares?
Oh, yeah. The dog wasn't
his. The dog was his roommate's. It was Lyman's.
Yeah.
Now Lyman doesn't exist. How
much do they stick to the John is a cartoonist thing?
Not very. I don't know if that's even strictly canon anymore.
I don't think it's canon anymore. But definitely he says he's a cartoonist in the first strip.
Yeah, yeah. But, and he's been a cartoonist consistently, but we never see him working.
No.
I don't know if he even really ever mentions it again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was wondering, like, if it came up later. Because in the first strip, he's, like, set, he's talking to the audience, whatever, and, yeah. But, doesn't seem to ever...
No, never came into the story.
Yeah, we don't even... I feel like we know what his girlfriend does for a living.
She's a veterinarian.
Yeah, but we don't know what he does. Do we know what he does?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
He never really even goes to work,
no.
As far as I can tell.
He's living the good life.
Yeah. But if it turned out he was, like, secretly rich the whole time.
Ooh.
Yeah.
He's living off the...
He licensed one comic strip to some creator, to an animated company, and it took off.
Yeah.
And he's just living on royalties.
I love it.
That's my fan theory. That's
I like
my
it.
Canon. John.
All right. So we're trying something a little different. We're going to bring in, like, premises. I took these premises from the short descriptions on fanfiction.net for a bunch of different fanfictions. So let's see here. So we got AU High School. So Garfield in a high school.
So Garfield, is he going to be walking and talking and interacting with the... Is it a cat high school?
Ooh,
are they like cat people?
Yes. But it's not strictly a cat high school. It is a... It's a majority cat high school.
But it's all animals.
It is all animals.
Animal people.
But the dog, whose name I'm forgetting right
Odie.
Now. Odie. Goes there as well.
Right.
And we can bring in other characters from Garfield. Mm-hmm. But it's like majority cat.
Right.
There's a couple dogs. Specifically Odie, who, you know, gets on Garfield's nerves.
Uh-huh.
And John is the principal.
Oh, pretty good.
Yeah. Okay.
John can just inexplicably understand them in
yes.
this our alternate universe.
Exactly. For which we are the gods.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you want to take a break and write that afterwards?
Sure do.
All right.
Boiling hot.
Yep. Catch you in a minute on Fan Fiction Writer's Room.
I'm a great hairy hope of like a lycanthrope. I've had a hair in my soap. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're going to do a house stinky fan favorite segment we hear all the time.
Where we explore how stinky the characters would be.
From a particular franchise.
Mm-hmm.
So this week we're going to do Garfield, seeing as how we're doing a Garfield fan fiction. Let's get reacquainted with all the characters. So let's do Garfield. How stinky?
How stinky?
How
now,
stinky?
Let's get to know Garfield. What does the official Garfield website say about what Garfield is?
Garfield is a fat, lazy, cynical, but endearing cat. Born in the kitchen of Mama Leone's Italian restaurant, Garfield...
I think it was an animated special.
Okay.
Where we learned that.
Garfield weighed 5 pounds, 6 ounces at birth. This is more of a diving into the lore.
Yeah.
And right from the start, he showed a passion for Italian food. The restaurant owner, forced to choose between Garfield and closing his doors for lack of pasta.
Garfield was eating them out of house and at home.
Sold Garfield to a pet store. Garfield thought he was a goner until John Arbuckle walked in the door. Garfield loves TV and hates Mondays. Oh, he's all sass and sarcasm, but he has a soft side too. He loves his teddy bear Pookie, and deep down, he loves his owner John and his dopey pal Odie.
Love him.
So, how stinky?
Well, the obvious question, well, he's a male cat.
Mm-hmm.
And male cats start to piss all over the house when they go in heat. And as we know with Garfield, it was notoriously very scientifically accurate.
Yes.
In all ways. And so his, and the pee smells extremely strong and gross when male cats are in heat.
Okay.
So Garfield would just smell like urine 24/7. Is he neutered? Is that canon? Is he fixed?
Would, do you think that John Arbuckle would neuter Garfield?
I don't think so. My gut says that he's not neutered.
Yeah, I don't think
he's
neutered.
Like, he might have some babies later.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, how would we really continue the story?
Unless
we had Garfield Jr.
You think that Garfield will be passed on when Garfield dies?
Yes, yeah.
Garfield Jr. will take over for
There'll
Garfield.
There'll be like three twins of Garfield.
Right.
Barfield?
Well, no, because what you forget is that every cartoon character doesn't have kids, they have nephews.
Oh, that's right.
The three identical nephews, every cartoon character does, without fail.
Yeah, but Garfield doesn't have a brother. But cartoon characters also don't have brothers. They just have nephews.
Yeah, nephews.
So they just magically appear. Are you allowed to have a nephew if you're neutered? Is that science?
No, if
Once
you have...
you're neutered, no
they
nephews?
They don't let you.
No nieces? No nephews?
They don't let you. The government takes them away.
Oh, no.
What I'm thinking is Garfield smells like piss.
Yes.
He smells like, I mean, cat piss, sorry. He smells
human piss.
Like sweat and lasagna or like Italian.
And because he loves food so much, and we do see him just bathing in lasagna, he will be entirely in a dish. One time, John was sitting down to dinner, and he had a full chicken, roast chicken, and somehow there was a sound coming from the turkey. And it was, or the chicken, and it was like, hop, hop, hop. And Garfield started eating it from the outside, from the inside out.
Wow.
And he ate all the chicken, and he was just laying there in the bones. And John just said, I don't even know how you did that. And it was it was the funniest thing I'd ever seen. And it's pretty good.
Yeah.
But he was inside.
He's inside the chicken.
So he really, like, he loves food so much. He gets
was
right
me.
In there.
I was the turkey the whole time. Invader Zim. Episode 23.
Look it up.
Look it up.
So he gets right in there, and that's impossible to get out of cat fur. He would never be able to clean all of that away.
Yeah.
So he's going to have vestiges of food all over his fur.
Okay. So yeah, he just smells like...
food.
Like...
Rotting food. Cat
piss.
Urine.
God, Garfield smells
cat
disgusting.
Litter? Like, cats are gross. A big, fat, lazy cat... that loves to eat and rub it all over his body, he's gonna stink. Like a pet? A stinky pet?
Nermal.
Ha!
How stinky?
Stinky! Nermal smells like lavender.
So,
I don't know how.
So, Nermal is the world's cutest kitten, or that's what he calls himself.
He's the most adorable kitten. I don't even know who Nermal belongs to.
Yeah.
And John, like, babysits him for a friend or something.
He often mails Nermal to Abu Dhabi. Nermal was introduced as a kitten belonging to John's parents.
Oh, okay.
But now he's just a neighborhood cat who simply wanders into Garfield's house to annoy him. So, that's who Nermal is.
He loves to play with yarn.
Mm-hmm.
Cats do.
I think, Nermal is everything that Garfield isn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, he smells like lavender, he smells like...
kittens.
Like...
Febreze. A little bit of kitty litter, but the scented stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It smells really good, actually.
Yeah. He's a cat you'd like
he's
to stick your face
neutered.
In. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nermal ain't got balls.
No.
John Q. Arbuckle.
Huh? How stinky!
I think John smells like drywall.
Oh my god! Yeah! But also cologne?
Yeah.
Too heavily of Kalumba?
It's like, he is attempting to cover, not cover this scent, but it's like, it's weird in that he has put on too much cologne, and he isn't one of those people who, like, actually researches or knows anything about cologne. He's probably using Axe body spray.
Yeah.
But
he believes commercials?
Yes.
That they say? Yeah.
And somehow his BO fights pretty well with the Axe body spray. So it's like this weird, like, Axe, but it's covered in this drywall, this, like, what is the blandest?
Like sawdust?
Sawdust.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Kind of like the inside of a Canadian Tire.
Rubber?
Or
yeah.
For our American friends, like a Home Depot? Or
yes.
A home hardware store of some kind? Uh-huh.
Just like...
rubber and plastic.
Yeah. But not because he does any sort of work. Yeah. Not because he's working with his hands. Just because... what else is it going to smell like?
Yeah.
Odie.
Huh? Huh? How stinky!
It's hard to get that right.
Odie's rolled in a lot of poop.
Yeah.
And a lot of dirt. And he loves to slobber.
Yeah.
And he has doggy breath.
I feel he smells like doggy breath just period.
Just constantly. Because his mouth's always open. So he's always just like panting and slobbering and just like breathing all over all of them all the time.
Yeah.
What about Liz, the veterinarian?
Yeah,
if she smells like chemicals, because she's a veterinarian, she has to be like sterilization, like Barbicide that you use at a barber's office.
Well, surely Liz has more. Does she have any qualities other than her job?
No.
Her favorite food is donuts, apparently.
She's just a veteran. She lives at the vet's office, actually. Her only clothes are the vet.
Dr. Liz is Garfield's vet. She treats Garfield like a patient and used to treat John like the plague. But then a minor miracle occurred. The good doctor somehow developed immunity to John's geekitis.
Oh, no.
And succumbed to his dweeby charms. Of course she's aware that John is still a loser. He couldn't find his shoes, so he painted his feet black. What?
I mean, that must have happened in one of the comic strips.
But now he's her lovable loser. Okay.
When they first met, I still remember this strip. Because she was so sassy. They're at the doctor's office, and she's checking up the cat. And he says, Liz, that's a pretty name. Is it short for Elizabeth? And she goes, no, it's short for lizard. And then Garfield's like,
I think she likes you.
Because she doesn't like him.
Yeah,
very
she doesn't
obviously.
Like him.
And is very sassy. And I was like, oh, that's really cute.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, what is like the smell of like upturned noses or...
boogers.
Boogers. She smells
no, she
like
does not smell like boogers.
No.
Spencer. Jeez.
Sorry.
Why would you even suggest that?
Sorry.
She smells like cleaning product.
Mm-hmm.
Like lemon?
Yeah.
Like Vim?
She smells like ocean breeze. Not like an ocean breeze. She smells like ocean breeze.
The scent?
The scent.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe she smells like...
she smells like permanent markers.
You know when you put a doctor's mask on and you kind of smell your own...
and it smells like rubber?
Yeah, but you're also smelling yourself, your own breath.
Uh-huh.
She kind of smells like that.
Oh. Or is that just what she smells when she's wearing a doctor's mask?
You're right. I did confuse
what
she smells and what
Rather
I smell when I talk to her.
What she smells like.
Yes.
You're thinking of what she smells.
Yes. And that concludes How Stinky?
Yeah. And I think the answer is that Garfield's the stinkiest of all.
Mm-hmm. Garfield's just disgusting.
Stinky. Big stinky cat, but we love him.
You were
so fun.
You were saying before we started the show that people are starting to conflate like a character, what a character would be like to spend time with as a person, and them on a show. Like,
yeah. The reasons that we like fictional characters versus like actual likable traits in a person.
Yeah, like,
in particular, brought on because of like everyone talking about like, oh, that fictional character is such a jerk. I hate him. Why do people like him? And it's like, You don't like characters for the same reasons you like actual people. Mm-hmm. And Garfield is a horrible jerk.
And stinky.
And he's really stinky.
What we've decided is that as cute as Garfield is with his cute big eyes and round tummy, stinky, you would not want to hang out with this cat.
And you wouldn't, yeah, he's a mean cat, too.
He's a mean cat.
He eats all his food.
Yeah.
Beats him up. Mm-hmm. Pushes the dog off of the ledge.
So what we're saying, if
but I love he to watch him do these things. They're so funny.
If he was in a high school AU,
like he for sure would be
the burnout,
the cool bully wearing a leather jacket, yeah, wearing sunglasses.
He's the bully guy from.
He's the bad boy. What he is?
Not 16 Candles, Breakfast Club.
Yeah, he's a bad. Boy.
He's
do we
the
just
want to
write the Breakfast Club but using yeah. Garfield characters?
Okay.
In their high school?
So John is, of course, the principal.
The principal trying to keep these crazy kids under control yeah. in their detention.
The nerd is probably Nermal.
Yeah. Yeah.
The wacky one is Odie.
Which one was the wacky one?
She was the girl. She crunches like all of her.
Oh, the weird girl.
Yeah, the weird right. girl. There's the cheerleader. The jock,
the basket
the
case.
Nerd, the basket case, and the criminal.
Right. So Garfield's the criminal.
Garfield's the criminal.
He's a bad boy.
Nermal is the nerd.
Mm-hmm. Who else we got? We got Odie. We got Arlene.
Yeah,
but
Arlene
she's
can
much
be
of a personality.
Well, that's why
she'll
she's
just be
the cheerleader.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because her job is to look pretty.
Yeah, you're right. Odie can be
Odie can be the basket case.
Yeah, the weird one.
And then
the jock.
Pookie.
Pookie the jock.
Pookie's the jock.
Interesting. Now, I can't picture Pookie wearing a cute little sweatband around his head
yeah.
and like a basketball jersey. Mm-hmm. He's got a basketball next to him, maybe.
So, we start off, everyone arrives at school, and there's a cool 80s song playing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, their parents are like,
why are you being so bad?
And they're like, kid? Shut up, Mom.
You don't understand me.
And, yeah, it goes like, boom, boom, eh, 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 boom, boom.
What song is that? Is that an 80s song?
Yeah, that's at the beginning of Breakfast Club.
Oh, I don't know. It's I don't know that movie that well to know what music that is.
Clearly, I haven't watched Breakfast Club in years, but I remember
it's not
that
really stuck in your mind.
Yeah, they all drop him off at school, and then the criminal is the only one who walks to school.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so they're all sitting in detention, and John. We'll start with John. Like, how does John reprimand these children?
Oh, you can't. No lasagna for a week.
That's my John impression.
It's pretty good.
Yes, he's an old man.
Yeah. I feel like John isn't cool. He isn't.
He's a nerd. Hey.
But also, like, he probably doesn't have any real power over these kids.
Because mm-hmm. they do not respect
they
him.
They do not
or
respect
his authority.
Him or his authority. So, yeah, he's like, you got me coming in on a Saturday. He just, like, that long
breathing
breath.
Breathing through his mouth.
Yeah. Yeah.
You all have to write essays. I'm going to be in the next room, and I don't want to hear a peep out of you.
And then a spitball flies in his head.
Who was that? Garfield?
It was me, man.
I'm
eating this lasagna over here.
No. He's hiding his lasagna in his coat. He's not allowed to have food in the library.
Yeah.
Well, that's your final warning, mister.
And John leaves the room. And now we have all of these characters that are going to become friends. Or maybe they don't have to. We don't have to just do the Breakfast Club.
Yeah, right.
We don't have to do, like, the bit where the criminal just screams at the cheerleader for some reason.
They probably all want to prank the principal.
Okay.
They just want to bother John.
So
they want to steal John's food.
Perfect.
John has a lunch there.
So yeah.
A lasagna he's made.
Garfield has realized that that John has lasagna and wants and is going to try to convince everyone to come along with him on this theft.
This wacky adventure.
So everyone's like kind of just, you know, they're on their phones or they're doing their nails. They're ignoring what's happened. Mm-hmm. And Garfield makes a move.
A backflip. Does he do a backflip? And
yes, he does a backflip. Whoa!
So much.
Wow!
Wow! No, he pulls out a knife. Because he's a bad boy. And then he does a backflip. Holding the knife.
We're all so confused. We don't know how to feel about this.
Oh my god, he's so impressive. We're all so scary. And he bullies Odie for a while. He just gives him a wedgie.
Okay. Who did we decide Odie was? Odie's the basket case.
Well, that seems mean. I thought Odie was the jock.
No, Pookie's the jock.
He wouldn't bully Pookie, though.
No, he loves Pookie. Okay, yeah, like, he's bullying Odie.
Yeah.
And then, so, bully Odie. You're Garfield.
Hey. Hey, you dumb dog. You want a wedgie? I'm gonna give you a wedgie. I'm gonna kick you off this table.
And then kick him.
I gotcha.
Oh, he goes flying off the table. And then Pookie, like, he goes to bully Pookie, but he can't do it because he loves Pookie.
Yeah, because Pookie's so cute.
So he's like,
hey, you dumb jock. Why are you so cute?
Freaking cutie. Look at this cutie over here. Look, he thinks he's so good because he's so pretty and happy and makes us all happy when he looks at us.
Give me warm fuzzies in my tummy.
Yeah.
And he hugs him.
Did we explain Pookie is Garfield's stuffed animal?
Right. People might not actually know intimately the Garfield storylines as much as
Garfield is, of course, the lazy cat. Odie is the dumb dog.
I guess, should we explain it from the very beginning for our international audience?
Yes.
Garfield is a comic strip about a big fat cat who eats lasagna and he eats his owner's food. And he bullies the pet dog.
And
the pet dog doesn't talk. He's just dumb and pants a lot and slobbers a lot. But Garfield thinks sassy thoughts.
Nermal is like the neighbor cat who's like better than
he's
Garfield.
He's a kitten. He's like the cutest kitten in the world.
Right.
And he prides himself on cuteness and kittenness. And Garfield's like, I don't know how you can let yourself stoop to that level. Mm-hmm. Hates him. Hates Nermal.
And then what is the girl's name?
Arlene.
Now who's Arlene?
Arlene is, I think, an alley cat.
Okay.
That Garfield makes goo goo eyes at.
Okay.
And they do love each other. And mm-hmm. they hang out in the alley behind his house on the fence.
Okay.
And they sing beautiful songs, and then...
So does Arlene return
boots.
His...
I think they're actually dating.
Okay.
Or they were dating.
So there is some... It's not like
I think
Kermit
it's like
and Miss Piggy.
His beau. Her beau.
Mm-hmm.
His lady love.
Mm-hmm.
Is Arlene.
Yes.
There may have been more than one lady cat, but I think Arlene's the usual. Or the one that, like, stuck around.
Arlene, in the list of Garfield characters that I just pulled up, Arlene was the only girl cat.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I could tell because she had lips.
That's right. They have really big, fat lips, too. All the female characters.
All the ladies. And who else? Nermal, Odie, Pookie.
Arlene.
I mean,
John Arbuckle is the human.
Who owns Garfield.
He's a big
nerd. And yeah.
That's all. And now you're up to speed. Pookie's a teddy bear. That's all you gotta need to know.
Garfield jumps on a table and, like, kicks... Nermal had been writing the essay.
Right.
Had been actually working on the assignment. No one else was.
The nerd.
And Garfield kicks the paper off the table and says...
Dang nerds. That's what the nerd gets. No essay. No more essays.
We're
getting out of here, man. We're gonna get ourselves some lasagna.
What?
This is Nermal.
What are you talking about? We have to write this essay. We're gonna get in trouble.
I don't care about getting in no trouble. You wanna talk about trouble? How about your dad burning cigarettes on you during Christmas?
Oh my gosh.
I got a trouble backstory.
Oh my gosh.
So sad.
That's so sad. I guess we'll listen to you now.
Yeah, so I don't care about getting in trouble. That's what I told you.
Okay.
What I do care about is getting lasagna.
All right, well, let's... Everyone, you want to get lasagna with Garfield? Yeah, okay.
We don't care that much. I got nothing else to do.
We're not going to do this essay, so... okay, so they sneak out of the library, mm-hmm. and now they're in, like, a hallway, and they know that John is at the in the teacher's lounge at the end of the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
So they're sneaking, Garfield in the lead, followed up by Oi, Nermal, Arlene, and Pookie,
mm-hmm.
who, actually, no, Garfield's carrying Pookie.
Yes, right, because Pookie can't walk by himself.
Yeah.
He is just a teddy bear.
Yes.
They're sneaking.
But the janitor, they hear the like the whirring thing, the spinny.
Right. The spinny guy. I think it's a polish?
The polisher.
The floor polisher?
They hear it coming around the corner.
Uh-huh.
What do?
Run. Hide in the vents.
Okay. So, yeah. Arlene, what is the thing that... Arlene's like, some rescue mission. I want to reference Star Wars, A New Hope, when, like...
they jump in the garbage compactor.
She shoots the vent, and they all jump in, and they go down and land in the garbage compactor. And
So that happens.
That happens, and you know the whole thing from Star Wars, A New Hope, when the garbage compactor comes in, there's a weird alien for no reason that never gets brought up again. And they all...
And the alien that lives in the garbage.
And they... And he calls on R2 in his microphone.
Shut down garbage compactors on the detention level!
Yeah, and then they make their way out of there. And it's hilarious. Because everyone's seen Star Wars. And they all think it's
uh-huh.
really good reference.
So Star Wars happens.
Star Wars happens.
And then they climb out of the vent. They climb out of the garbage.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
the garbage
mm-hmm.
vent.
Let's say that they did end up below... They're on, like, the basement floor now.
Yes.
And they want to get up to where...
John's office is.
John's office is.
And he's cooking a lasagna in his office. He has a stove.
They can smell it.
He has a hot plate. A hot plate in his office.
Because of course John would have a hot plate mm-hmm, in his office.
Because he's so lonely and lame.
Loser.
He's such a nerd.
Yeah.
And he's cooking an entire lasagna instead of just a single portion.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's just weird.
He's just a big dummy.
It's just strange. And now, how are they going to distract him? One of them is going
well,
to
Well, right now
to
they're
be.
Still on the in the basement. So, like, they could make a plan,
mm-hmm.
but they have to get up there. The basement is maybe not part of the school proper. Like, this is where...
A storage area?
Yeah, a storage area. Maybe the furnace is down here.
Mm-hmm.
So... What would you find in a furnace or a storage area? They find a bunch of old textbooks, a bunch of...
Brooms.
Maybe boxes. they find all of the confiscated drugs.
Oh my god.
That the school has confiscated
marijuana.
From kids over the years. And do they smoke up?
Oh, they smoke
they
a
smoke
lot
up.
Of drugs.
They get Uh-oh. Real high and... Nermal's like, I don't know about this. But of course, he gives into the peer pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And Garfield is so cool, and he does another backflip.
Oh my god. Does a front flip this time.
Does a front flip. And now they're all super stoned.
And they have the munchies, so they want the lasagna more than ever. Do they light some marijuana on fire? That's how it works. And
yes.
then the smoke... is created.
Uh-huh.
And then they waft the smoke up to John's office.
Okay.
So that he gets very high as well.
Okay.
And he won't know what's going on.
Yeah, because John doesn't know what weed smells like.
So he'll get really high and he won't even be able to defend himself. They can murder him.
Consider that John is high, but so are they.
Right, right.
And they are currently below in the basement. So yes, John has now become high, and he's freaking out because he doesn't understand what being high is.
Mm-hmm.
So they leave the boiler room,
mm-hmm.
and they enter back into the school proper. And they pass by the art class.
Mm-hmm.
So in the art class, there's paints, there's clay, there's ceramics.
Mm-hmm.
There's a photography room. Could they use any of these things to...
Now, they could make some good disguises using these and fool John into thinking they're ghosts, perhaps?
Okay. So, yes.
Or monsters?
They
or some sort of zombie outbreak?
They make out of clay.
Oh, I know. Maybe John was listening to the radio
mm-hmm.
in his office at the mm-hmm. time. And they get the nerd to use his nerd powers.
To hack?
To hack the radio. And then they have a walkie-talkie and they plug it into the hack box.
Uh-huh.
And then they can pretend like it's an emergency announcement about a zombie outbreak.
Okay.
And you gotta leave everything you're doing, get you a safe spot.
Don't go back and check children.
No, sir.
Leave children
behind. It's too
late
for them.
Yeah.
You gotta panic. Panic.
You can't trust anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Because they could be zombies.
Yeah. Leave everything behind. Get in your car. Drive. Drive away to the coast. To the ocean. It's the only safe place to be.
So, John hears this and...
Comes running out of his office.
Goes running out of his office.
But they have painted themselves to look like zombies.
Mm-hmm. And he jumps up and goes, ah, zombies! And as he's running out, he...
poops his pants.
No. Yes.
No? Okay.
Yes. He poops his pants.
But also...
And that...
runs right through a wall. And there's a John-shaped hole in the wall.
I want, like, something to go wrong in the plan.
Oh, I see.
I want a hitch.
Hmm.
John is now very high, very paranoid. He hears this radio broadcast. And he's like, pfft. But he's also, like, a lingering fear in the back of his mind. He's like, maybe... maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they're coming and they make a bunch of noise and he peeks out and he sees them and he screams and he runs and trips on the janitor's polisher.
Oh no! A callback!
And cracks his skull and starts to bleed.
God.
He doesn't die.
But he does bleed and they're like,
uh-oh.
This has gone bad.
Nermal is like, we gotta take him to the hospital. And Garfield wants that lasagna.
That's right.
He doesn't want to go to the hospital. He doesn't care about John.
Mm-hmm. He says he's fine. We don't gotta take him to the hospital. Look at him. He's having a great time. John has the giggles because he's still really high.
He's like, and he's also probably has a concussion.
Yep.
So he's like, you are all the great students. You're all the great students.
You're best. You get A's.
You all get A's at detention. Yeah, Nermal doesn't like this. Nermal convinces everyone to... Nermal's like... Nermal uh-huh. calls 911.
Oh, uh-oh.
But their distress call, their radio signal...
Uh-huh.
has alerted more than just John. It went all over the town.
Oh no! Their fake zombie broadcast?
Their fake zombie broadcast went all over the town. And so the police are driving around hunting zombies. They're all busy. The ambulances are driving everywhere.
And they don't even know, but outside their high school, it's chaos.
It's chaos.
The town has gone crazy.
Yes, exactly. So the only ones who can bring John to the hospital are the five of them.
Right. They gotta work together.
Pookie,
mm-hmm.
he has a Dodge Charger.
Okay.
Because he's the cool one.
No, so, he's the jock.
Is that not the cool one? I mean, the criminal...
Oh, okay, yeah, okay.
The criminal doesn't have a Dodge.
Right, he's
Dodge
the popular
Charger.
One.
Exactly. So his parents are probably rich, and he has this really cool car.
Right.
So they all pile into the Dodge Charger, and Pookie is driving, but there's chaos in the streets.
No. One of them working the pedals.
Yes.
One of them steering.
Okay, Garfield is steering. Odie is working the pedals.
Yep.
Nermal is the eyes. Is like
right.
on the whatever you call it, the dash.
Right.
And it's like turn left, turn right.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they're
because they crashed into a tomato cart and the windshield has tomatoes all over it and you can't see a dang thing.
Well, let's get to that. So they pull out of the high school.
Uh-huh.
And John's in the back and Arlene is like tending to John's wounds, making sure he stays uh-huh. awake. And they're driving and yeah, there's a tomato cart in front of them. Uh-huh. And Nermal says, turn right, turn right. Garfield's like, which way is right?
Your other right.
Crash right into the tomato cart.
Oh,
therefore, they can't.
I can't see a dang thing.
Can't see a dang thing. What do we do?
Nermal, get out there. He throws him on the dashboard. Oh, what are you doing? You gotta be my eyes.
Well, no, Nermal was on the...
But why was he being his eyes if he can't see?
Because Garfield's not tall enough to see.
Oh, because he's too short.
He's too short. Sorry, maybe that wasn't clear. But now the windshield is covered in tomato.
Uh-oh.
So Nermal can't see either now.
Oh, so he has to climb on the roof of the car.
Garfield's like, I got this. And he hops onto the roof, and because he's hungry...
Yeah.
He eats off all the tomato.
Oh my gosh! Just like a pasta sauce.
It's a pasta sauce. Yeah, so Nermal's now like steering while also he's sitting on the dashboard and like steering sort of. He's not doing a great job because he has to like look over behind him
right.
while also steering.
Mm-hmm.
And they're swerving and there's chaos on the streets.
And people are running through the streets screaming.
And
people with pitchforks and torches.
There's already people dressed in like Mad Max gear with the hockey masks and the pins.
Spikes everywhere.
Spikes on their things and they, you know, taking slaves.
Mm-hmm. Helicopters flying by.
And
the army's over there.
So they're having a very difficult time swerving between all these people, but Nermal's managing to do it. Garfield comes back, and so Garfield now can steer, and Nermal is looking, and the hospital's down the street. They're almost there.
Mm-hmm. But oh no.
But oh no.
Something's blocking their way. A food truck.
And
we're
going
to have to eat our way through.
They're serving delicious lasagna.
On a stick.
On a stick. Nermal says, go right, there's a lasagna truck. Garfield goes, lasagna truck? And he hits the brake. And they're, you know, they're right next to the hospital. But Garfield has hopped out and is now shoving lasagna after lasagna into his mouth. How do they get Garfield back? They need him to steer. They can't steer... Look, and also...
Work the pedals
all at the same time. And also take care of Arlene. And Pookie's useless.
Mm-hmm.
Or take care of John.
What does Garfield love more than eating?
Well, you know what? He loves his friends. So Nermal hops down and reminds Garfield. Garfield! John is... Might die. John is in serious trouble. He needs you right now.
And
we all need you.
Garfield also is very lazy.
That's true.
And he'll snap. He tells Garfield, you know, they have the best beds at the hospital.
Okay.
And you press a little button and someone brings you food right to your bed.
Nermal tries to appeal to Garfield's sense of decency.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work.
But
so then Nermal figures out a way to appeal to his selfishness.
To his laziness.
Laziness.
Selfishness and laziness.
And you know what?
Griffith's like, yeah, I gotta get me some of that action. Let's go to the hospital.
And they finally manage to get to the hospital. They get John into a bed. They also say that Garfield got food poisoning. So he's getting all his free food and free napping.
Yep. And he loves that hospital food.
He loves it. He's the only one.
All the jello he can eat.
And the rest of them,
they
all learn to come together to save their principal.
Yeah. And he's like, And when he wakes up the next day and chaos has subsided, they realize it was a prank. Town's back to normal. And John realizes those kids, they're all right.
They're all right.
They took care of me. And they used their resourcefulness and all the things they learned in school.
Yes.
To save the day.
I taught them well.
An A plus for all of them.
And
they all get an A plus in detention class.
They all get an A plus in detention class.
Don't you
forget about me.
And Garfield's walking across the field and he pumps his fist in the air.
Yeah.
Great roll. Oh, man.
Oh, man. That was an okay story. I forgot to mention, thank you, Ade, for submitting Garfield. You want to do some sandwich criticism?
Yeah, Garfield loves sandwiches. That's true. He's got a lot to criticize on sandwiches.
What's a good thing about this story?
It wasn't our best.
No.
Don't think.
Okay, that's not a good thing, though.
Good thing about it, backflips.
Pretty good backflips.
Backflips.
Bad thing?
Bad thing. Not enough fun voices.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Garfield has just like a Bill Murray voice, and that's hard to do.
It's just kind of lazy. It's just like, yeah.
Whatever, man.
I don't care. But then we also like made him the cool guy, so he had to have a little more energy than that.
Yeah.
He's like, hey guys, but also then.
Look at my cool backflips.
I'm doing cool backflips.
That's a really good Garfield impression.
Thank you. One last good thing.
They learned a good lesson. Good lessons for the kids.
Good lessons for the kids.
Uh-huh.
And if you're a kid,
I hope you learned a thing or two.
I hope you learned a thing or two.
Working together with your friends.
To save your principal.
Yeah. Because some things are more important than lasagna. Like being lazy.
Like napping, yeah.
Napping is.
If you'd like to suggest characters for us, send them on over to ffwrshow@gmail.com. What's a good prompt? Who?
A good dog?
Who's a good boy?
Who is a good boy?
Send your good boys over to ffwrshow@gmail.com. And you know what? I have something to plug.
Oh boy.
I have a new website up. Noise.com. That's four noises.
Oh boy.
It's my online shop. You can buy my shirts, pins, zines. You can check it all out. Buy yourself a special boy or a Burger Friend t-shirt.
I have a question.
Yes.
Why four noises?
Because three noises was taken.
Oh, that answers it. Okay, yeah. That's what I was going to say. Why not three noise?
Yeah, three noise would be better, but yeah, for the URL was taken. So I went with four.
What is noise.com?
Oh, it's nothing. It's just someone has...
Damn it.
...is holding on to that domain. Them. Yeah, I mean, maybe I will when I make money. But right now,
good plan.
If you buy all of my stock of Burger Friend t-shirts, I promise to buy 3noise.com.
Thanks to the band known as Seawater Bliss, for the use of their song Theme from Teen Wolf 2 as our intro and outro.
And remember, when in doubt, just AU that garbage.